My friend Ruth Smiley is in studio to say goodbye, leaving behind the arts and culture scene that she has helped produce and groom through many, many years. Ruth, just stand by for a moment here. I just got to get to these texts. 1-877-300-7275. Text me your summer vacation plans. We're getting close to where I got to cut it off here to enter to win a pair of tickets to check out Craven Country Thunder next weekend. So this is a pair for the whole weekend, camping's included. It's a prize value valued at well over $600. And if you want to win, let me know your summer plans. Andrea Hart in Pilot Butte said, hey, just going to travel around Saskatchewan to different lakes and different places I've not been to. That's always fun to do. Go somewhere you've never been before. Tim said, going to see my friends in BC, have a few cold ones throughout summer as well. And let's see, Jeremy said his vacation plan is pretty easy. Take the odd Friday off and golf as much as possible. Everyone who shares their summer plans is going into the draw. I'll make after 8 o'clock, all right? But we're getting close to the cutoff, so go for it. 1-877-300-7275. Okay, Ruth Smiley, founding CEO of the Dark Hall Society, retiring. And many of you know her, too, from her Globe Theater years as well. And she's been a fixture in our arts community. But enough is enough already. It's time to say goodbye. And I'm happy, Ruth, you're choosing to say goodbye on my show. Thank you. Welcome.
Nice to see you.
Well, you've accomplished so much with Dark Hall in the last few years and prior to that, Globe Theater. So let me go to Dark Hall for a moment here. How that theater has transformed itself through the renovation, through what you've done. I still think it's one of those things that not enough people know about.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it was closed for so long. And so we've really been focused on trying to bring people back.
How would you distinguish it from Globe Theater?
Well, it's primarily a music venue, although we also do theater. But I think the greatest distinction is that we don't make it. We present it.
Yeah, I'm going to catch you a few times. You say we as if you're still working there. Remember, you're retired, Ruth. So it opened a couple of years ago after extensive renovations. It's a premier theater now. And of course, Globe Theater has undergone its renovations here too. Does it make it easier for Regina now to attract arts and culture?
Yeah, they do. The challenge was that there was no appropriate 500-seat venue for artists. So we were a flyover. And we have, you've seen it, it's absolutely gorgeous, the renovations. But we also have incredible acoustics, fantastic equipment. We have a Fazioli piano, the only one in Saskatchewan. It's a real destination now for artists.
Yeah. Think about it. If your time in theater were a play, what would the title be? Take your time.
Can't think of a single plot line. Okay, I made it better.
Nice. I like that one. That could be the title of your book you should write too. I know what you're going to do, Ruth.
What am I going to do?
I figured it out for you. You're going to take some leisure time, but you're going to write your own one-woman show. And you're going to return to the stage and be the star attraction. Would it be a comedy? Would it be a love story? Would it be a romantic evening with Ruth?
It would probably have to be a comedy or else I'd be crying.
Ruth Smiley's my guest. Do you have people come up to you over the years and say, hey, Ruth, thanks. What's that feedback been like?
I get that a lot. It's very humbling. I don't think you ever completely get over imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And sort of, why me? How did this happen?
Over the years, you know, either through radio or television, you've always been gracious to me, coming on my shows and allowing me to be, you know, show up at Dark or Globe Theater to put the spotlight on someone. And I just wanted a moment to have you on my show now to say thank you for everything you've given to our community. And I don't know, maybe you want to say something to our community over the radio airwaves.
I do. I am so grateful for all the opportunities that I've been given and for the tremendous support that this community has provided to Globe Theater and now to Dark Hall and to the performing arts and to the arts. This is a pretty exceptional community. So this is the only city I've lived in, and I've lived in many, many cities, where when I arrived, I received cards from the mayor, the premier, city council members, business leaders, yeah, welcoming me to this community. That's exceptional.
Well, you probably got a few cards from some of those people already to say thank you. And I say personally, thank you, Ruth Smiley. You're just a gem, and it was nice of you to take the time to come on my show this morning.
Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate your support. With you in this brand new Chevy with a lift kit.
Tyler Hubbard used to lead Florida Georgia Line. He's coming to Craven Country Thunder next weekend. He's got his own solo stuff now, and of course he'll do some Florida Georgia Line. You'll hear Cruz, and you'll want to go for free, right, to Craven Country Thunder, because I've got a pair of tickets for the entire weekend plus camping. It's my last opportunity for you this week to give you a chance to win these for free, and it's also the last call. Right now, at the top of the hour, I'm going to cut everyone out. You only have till the top of the hour to enter if you've not done so already. But everyone, tell me what your summer vacation plans are and include your first and last name. That's key too. 1-877-300-7275. Tara texted me, said, summer plan? Couple camping trips in our cozy little trailer to Bright Sand Regional Park. Thank you, Tara, for sharing that one there, too. Summer plans. What are yours? Let me know. Just started a new job, Sean said. So summer, we'll be working a little more than normal, but got a golf tournament or two as well. Thank you for your entering in the draw. That's as easy as it is. Just tell me what you're doing. Tina said, enjoying the long evening, the longer evenings and the nicer weather, go to the lake and beach, soaking up the sun. A lot of people seem to be doing that, just taking it easy, either enjoying the backyard or just, you know, doing a little camping. Here's another. Chris said, out to Echo Lake in August. Fishing trip with my daughter up north, too. Looking forward to that. Okay, everyone is entered into the grand prize draw. We'll put everyone's name in. And Frank, my producer, is going to make the draw after the 8 o'clock news. But you have only another 6 minutes to enter and tell me your vacation plans. Maybe you're going to the Calgary Stampede this weekend. It's Friday, July 4th. The Stampede has started. Stateside, of course. There's going to be tons of fireworks and hot dogs eaten. I don't know if you've ever been to the U.S. during July the 4th. I have a few times, and I just can't believe how many, well, first, how many roadside fireworks displays there are where you could just pull over and buy like these super enormous fireworks they sell everywhere. Once I was in Vegas during the 4th of July, and I was at a hotel, I think it was about the 14th floor, and I looked out just as the sun faded, and then boom, the entire city just lights up, let alone the main fireworks they always throw on the main Vegas Strip. But I'm talking about backyards, and it went on for hours. So if you're ever in the U.S. on the 4th of July and up high, you will see spectacular sights. They just go firework crazy there. And of course, Joey Chestnut is returning to the famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest, where he hopes to break his old record, I think, is 76 hot dogs back in 2021. Cameron here in Regina, he texted me, he said, have you looked at his records? 50 world eating titles, including 103 hamburgers, Cameron said, in 8 minutes. He also has eaten 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. That is absolutely disgusting. So we'll be patiently waiting to see how Joey Chestnut does later today. Okay, coming up after 8 o'clock, Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk, is going to stop in early for the weekend. There's a lot of talk about Dutch elm disease in our city, already destroying something like 17 trees. This is serious, and Rick provides a little more insight on what you and I can do, and it's pretty easy to stop it. And if you live in an area where there's a lot of trees, you need to know this. Rick Van Dyvendyke after the 8 o'clock news. Well, many of you listen to what this next man says every Sunday morning. He's the host of Garden Talk. Rick Van Dyvendyke is joining me for a few moments here because I wanted to talk about Dutch elm disease. You're hearing a lot about that in the headlines this morning. 16, I believe, confirmed cases already. City crews having to deal with. And let's examine a little more. You hear it a lot, but what's your take on this, Rick? The fact that we're losing elm trees at an alarming rate.
Yeah, that's one thing about it is when you got an urban forest that is made up of a lot of elm trees, when you have monoculture, like, which means you have all the same type of tree down a lot of streets, disease can move in. And the best way we can get rid of it, keep that at bay, is by keeping your trees healthy. Deep watering them at least once a month. Even those trees, Greg, that, you know, we all like to move into part of the city that has all these big trees in them. But then we just water our lawn. We've got to remember, when we get these hot spells, we got to water the trees, and that's different. You got to deep water them at least once a month.
Does fertilizing help too, Rick?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Fertilizing the trees. So even though you may just seem like they're not your trees, they are your trees. they're part of your urban landscape. And so make sure you water them, fertilize them, and you got to water them at the drip line of the trees. Don't water them right at the trunks. You got to water them at the outer edge where the branches end, and that's where the main feeder roots are. So water the best you can, especially some of the big trees. They got roots underneath the roads and everything else. And so just water them the best you can. Okay. And the best thing to do also is don't prune. When you prune a tree, it weeps a bit of sap and attracts the beetle, you know, that carries the Dutch elm disease.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because some people, everyone has probably in this city heard of Dutch elm disease, but never really bothered to understand what causes the damage. So it is the beetle, and that's why, you know, bringing in wood is not recommended either. But maybe just a little more on what the beetle does.
Yeah, the beetle, what it does is it carries the fungus on the back of them. And they have these beetles, you might have a 1-inch by 1-inch. This is how small the beetles are. The 1-inch by 1-inch piece of bark, it might have over 200 beetles in it. Okay, that's how small the beetles are. So you got to make sure you don't do any trimming and don't store elm firewood. It's just a nesting area for those elm beetles. And so don't do that, and don't prune them.
Okay.
And that's very important. And keep your trees healthy, because the last thing the insects go after is a stressed tree. You get to know to have that. Keep them healthy.
All right. Garden Talk host Rick Van Dyvendyk. He's back Sunday morning for 2 hours, starting at 9, but not done yet. Keeping trees healthy is important by fertilizing, deep watering. That's good to know. What other items should we be aware of? A lot of our plants are probably a little heat stressed. What do you want to remind people this weekend of?
Oh, everybody's got their pots right now, and because of the heat, they're watering their pots, their flower pots, their vegetable pots, whatever. And to make sure that you put a slow-release fertilizer, and then at least once a week, supplement them with another fertilizer. With vegetables, use a vegetable fertilizer. If you just have flowers, using a 20-20-20 or something like that once a week, they're growing like crazy. Those plants are hungry in those pots. And just making sure that you do that. And also, if you've got vegetables, like tomatoes and cucumbers, consistent watering is huge. If you go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, you're going to get what we call blossom end rot, and which is where your tomatoes will turn brown or black at the ends. So consistent watering, keeping the moisture, which is hard when you go to work, it's hot during the day and you come back. So setting up some kind of a system where you can keep them consistently wet, that's important. And then there again, nutrients. Calcium for vegetables is a really big one to keep healthy as well.
Well, you stress me out with everything I got to do to keep it running, Rick. You really do. Rick Van Dyvendyk. Slugs, you wanted to talk about slugs for a moment?
Yeah, slugs. Everybody's phoning about slugs and hostas and even in the vegetable garden. A couple ways you can do that. Put a headlight on at nighttime, go around and do a hunting trip. Pick them. Otherwise, you can use their slug baits. You can put a little piece of plywood, a piece of wood down, put some slug bait. Slugs come out at nighttime. And the slug bait that they all make now is safe for pets. You can put it out there and they'll feed on that. Or you can put a little cottage cheese container buried in the ground, put a little bit of that good beer in the bottom of it, and okay, that attracts them, and they drown in the beer as well.
All right, Rick, I'm out of time, but when's the last time you put a headlight on your forehead when slug hunting at night?
I've done that for a few things. There's a lot of insects that come out at nighttime. You have to scout for them, and you look for them at night.
Okay, somebody's got a creepy neighbor. Mom, he's at it again in the backyard. I'm scared. Garden Talk host Rick Van Dyvendyk. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, that takes me back to my youth. Frank in prison out at Echo Lake at our cabin there. Okay, look, a lot of you sharing your summer vacation plans to win tickets to Craven Country Thunder next weekend. I have a pair of tickets for the whole weekend and camping, and we put everyone's name in a hat. Thanks for all the camping suggestions and vacation suggestions. The grand prize winners. Yes, I've got two prize packages, each valued at more than $600. First winner was Susan Walbauer, who said she was going to be spending time with family and friends, barbecuing, fishing, enjoying the Saskatchewan sky. Susan, congratulations, you've won. And how about this? Our second winner was, Frank, give me that name here, Tara Sebastian, who told us Her summer plans consisted of camping trips in a cozy little trailer they have, going to regional parks, Bright Sand. Hey, both of you are getting these tickets to go enjoy Craven now. Your summer just got better. Thank you so much. Maybe your summer plan is just going to the movies. Well, just in time for July the 4th, stateside, Jurassic World Rebirth, expected to make $300 million globally just this weekend, is in theaters. Is it any good? I thought I'd ask my resident movie critic, Brett Buster, to let us know.
The theme park owners did experimental work, leaving only the worst ones here.
Survival is a long shot.
Going back seems like a bad idea. Was it? Let's check it out with our resident movie critic, Brett Buster. You saw it. What did you think of Rebirth?
I thought it was okay. It's not the fantastic reinvigoration of this franchise I was hoping for. It is better than the last two, I will say that. I'd kind of given up hope entirely on this franchise after the last two. It's fine. You get the requisite, you know, dino action. It all looks very good. There's some fun stuff, but it's a very underwhelming story. And sadly, I think Scarlett Johansson was completely miscast and doesn't work in this movie at all.
Well, let me just go back here. So you had Jurassic World, where the park was overrun by dinosaurs, and the Indominus Rex. I remember that escaping.
Yep.
And then came Fallen Kingdom, where the whole island was destroyed.
Suddenly there's a volcano.
And then Jurassic World Dominion, that was 4 years later, and all the dinos are they're around
running
the planet,
yeah.
And they're trying to find a sanctuary for them. So this latest one is what, now 5 years later from that?
Yeah, so it's basically a mercenary team are heading to the island where they did a bunch of genetic experiments with like the freak dinosaurs, and they basically did the Deep Blue Sea plot where if they take samples from certain dinosaurs, it's going to lead to like a medical breakthrough and save people's hearts. So that's the reason the mercenaries are there. Then there's a family who are sailing nearby and they run across the Mosasaurus, which is my favorite dinosaur of these new movies, the big underwater one, the massive one. So then they run across the mercenaries who save them. Then they all end up on the island and it's a fight for survival. I don't know. There's just something missing here.
And isn't it a fact, though, that these movies are always thin on the plot and the acting is always kind of cheesy? We're there for the dinosaurs, Brett. So talk to me about the action.
Well, the action's good. I will say that. The Mosasaurus scene is great. There's a scene in the trailer where the T-Rex is coming after them in a raft, which is taken directly from the first novel. So there's a lot of good stuff there.
Does it look real? Is it pretty cool?
I think so. There's one shot I actually thought that the T-Rex looked like it was 3D coming out of the screen.
Bit of a jump scare or two in the movie?
Yeah, there's some horror to it. You know, there's like, especially with the monstrous dinosaurs, like there's a decent kill count in the movie. But the problem is, Greg, you know exactly who's going to die.
Of course.
Which then also lets you know who isn't going to die. And therefore, in some of the scenes, there is zero tension because I was just sitting there like, well, none of these people are dying. So
do you think this is the end of the franchise? I do not.
No. Based on the fact
there's theme park rides.
Yeah.
It's never going to die.
The last two weren't great and they both made $1 billion. So, I mean, anything's possible. This apparently is a standalone. Maybe if it does well, they'll bring Scarlett back and they'll do another one. But I think this is going to do very well. I just don't know if it'll hit $1 billion like the last couple because it is kind of underwhelming.
It doesn't really matter. It's going to be big business because so many kids out there like dinosaurs. And besides, isn't it the perfect place to go stay cool?
Oh, yeah.
Air conditioned comfort in this heat wave.
I agree. And there's, you know what? There was a lot of people there last night. There was a lot of kids. It's a family event. I mean, there is some scary stuff in there. It's people getting eaten by dinosaurs.
Out of 10, you give it a?
I was thinking about this hard. I think I'm going to be generous and give it like a 6 to a 6.5 out of 10.
Well, if it's over 5, it's good enough then.
I guess so. I mean, you'll have fun at the theater.
That's Brett Buster. Might check it out myself this weekend. We'll see what happens. CJME News Time Now is 827.